I did a joke at the end of the last episode, and it was a story about a supporter for a politician who wore very, very short skirts. And what I said was I wasn't doing that story just as an exploitative tactic so that I could use the picture of a girl's butt as the thumbnail for the podcast on YouTube. Now, YouTube is not where this channel thrives. This is a podcast first. So almost all the listeners are on the podcast, but there is a YouTube channel, Chunk of Beef Chest YouTube channel, where you can see the video of this. And generally, I know we get like less than 10 views on YouTube. Like it's weird to get 800 to 1,000 downloads on the internet for a podcast and then put it on YouTube and get like 4, but also not a problem because again, that's not my focus. Since I'm recording it live on Twitch, I have the video. I might as well throw the video on YouTube. It doesn't hurt me at all. It just also doesn't seem to benefit me at all. With the butt as the thumbnail, the last episode, I'll do the last 3 episodes. Previous Ninja News Japan got 17 views. The one following that got 17 views. The last C-McB got 7 views. Bottom Butt Cheeks Podcast, Ninja News Japan, 262. So you can do the math on the increase in traffic by just putting an ass in your thumbnail, if you want to. Now, am I going to do it again? Probably not. I'm not against being exploitative and putting like a chick with boobies or a butt on each thumbnail. But also, if it's not relevant, I'm not going to do it. So like, if it's in one of the stories, I would put it up there if it was in a picture that I already had or something like that. But I'm not going to go out of my way to do it. So there's a certain honesty that comes with the Ninja News Japan podcast, the C-McB podcast. I'm not exploitative unless I'm making fun of being exploitative. So there's an interesting moral conundrum I've set up for myself. But that's not what we're talking about today. I just thought it was interesting. I could multiply my traffic by 10 by sticking an ass in a thumbnail, which I guess I knew. I mean, I'm a victim of it. I see butts and I click on things. I'm a man. And that's who I am. I'm a man. I'm about to break into song. Godzilla.
Learn to cheat.
Learn to cheat. I know how to cheat. I'm just not going to do it. That's what it comes down to. I'm not going to do it. Ninja News Japan actually has a fundamental level of integrity that a lot of other news sources don't, which I find really weird because I don't have to. I'm not beholden to anything or anybody because this is just a podcast I make on my own. I literally could make up the news and nothing would actually happen to me. Then do it. Lose the integrity. Maybe. We'll see. I could just have like, instead of pictures of news stories, have pictures of just girls here constantly throughout the whole podcast. No relation to whatever I'm talking about, just like a stimuli in the corner. All right, what we're going to talk about today is Godzilla first. We have about 5 stories. Godzilla. Toho applied for a 3D IP trademark. So they would have the Godzilla shape is probably already trademarked as a symbol or something like that. The name Godzilla is trademarked. They have a 3D version that they wanted to trademark that. The patent office said, no, you can't trademark that. And their statement was, it is merely a form resembling dinosaurs or imaginary creatures. And go fuck yourself, patent office in Japan. Because Godzilla is not merely resembling a dinosaur. Godzilla is a unique entity. I mean, if you put a shape up and it was a dinosaur, I would go, that's a dinosaur. If you put a shape up that was Godzilla, I could tell you not only that it was Godzilla, that which era, which, you know, decade it came from, because each Godzilla is a different shape throughout the years. The original Godzilla, something people don't realize, Godzilla grew over each decade. And he grew because as the skyline of a city grew up, so you have like Tokyo in the 1950s, 1960s, tallest buildings, let's say 10 stories, 15 stories, something like that. Godzilla had to tower over that. So the tallest building kind of hits his chest, maybe his shoulders. Then in the 60s and 70s, the tallest buildings got taller. So Godzilla in that era also got taller because Godzilla is not a designated height. Godzilla is taller than the tallest tower in the city. So that's probably something no one really thought about. But if you're a big Godzilla fan, you know that. You know that Godzilla's size isn't determined by his actual size. It's determined that he is bigger than the city he is in at all times. So he has to tower over everything. That's Godzilla. But then there's the years he's grown like sort of big spines and he shoots lasers and stuff. I would recognize a Godzilla silhouette, no problem. A 3D Godzilla shape, 100%. I would nail Godzilla 100% of the time. Fuck you, dinosaurs. Fuck you, patent office. The Japan IP Association, they agree with me. They didn't turn around and say, fuck you. A higher court didn't turn around and say, fuck you, patent office. Although if they had hired me for that moment, I would have absolutely done it. I literally would have paid them. I will give you 10,000 yen for me to put on a suit, come to your office, come to the meeting where they have the people, the lawyers or whatever from the patent office and the people from the higher court, and then just go, you know, we've examined the case. We've looked at all sides of this and Peter, and then I just go, fuck you. And then they just go back to being serious again. I would have paid for that. I would pay to be that guy. Japan IP, higher court said that the shape is widely recognized by consumers, this guy, and was overwhelmingly recognizable. So the Japan IP office granted the IP, and now the 3D shape of Godzilla is trademarked. So actually now I'm thinking I can't use it anymore. So if it wasn't trademarked, I could actually make a 3D Godzilla shape and then use it. I think I just fucked myself. Oh no. Oh no. Since we're talking Godzilla, I'm not going to switch stories. It's a new story, but it's still about Godzilla. This was on Sora News 24 the other day, and it was very interesting. The current PM, Ishiba? I just don't know his name. God damn it. Let me just get his name right. I don't want to say the wrong name. He was accused of falling asleep. The current Japan PM. So we had the guy who stepped down and Ishiba took his place. And then he called for a snap election. It actually looked like he wasn't going to get reelected. So this was a mistake. He got reelected, just squeaked through. During the conversation where they're like trying to decide who the new prime minister is going to be, apparently he fell asleep, or it looked like he fell asleep. And then they're trying to say it was cold medicine. I think it might be because he's an old man. There are old man problems that need to be taken care of when it comes to politics. I have generally demonstrated my bias against old men in politics at this point. I don't think we need old men in politics anymore. I think we need to go younger. I think when you get to your 60s, you're done. You're out of politics. You're finished. You can, you know, ride the wave, give speeches, whatever, collect your money that way. I think you're done with politics. Back in 2016, Ishiba saw Shin Godzilla. Now, I saw Shin Godzilla. And Shin Godzilla is a very interesting movie because it is about 90% administrative activities. There is very little Godzilla in this movie. And about halfway through, I'm like, am I just watching admin? Am I watching different administrative bodies do their jobs? Because that's weird and interesting, but it's also not much of a Godzilla film. And the idea is they have to deal with the various real life problems of a giant monster attacking the city. So there are legal issues. And Ishiba said, it doesn't make sense that the prime minister in Shin Godzilla used the SDF to attack Godzilla based on a military thing because of the constitution in Japan. So he's saying what that prime minister did was technically illegal and it's not how it should have been done. So in 2016, Ishiba stated, I couldn't understand why the SDF were deployed against Godzilla. Godzilla is more like a natural disaster than an attack by a foreign power. So the SDF can be deployed against a foreign power. There are three conditions that it must fulfill for it to be constitutionally legal to use the SDF. Number one, it has to be a military attack on the country. So Godzilla is not a military. He's not attacking the country with like the behest of taking it over. A military attack would, you know, try to diminish the power, undercut the society or whatever. That's not really Godzilla's intent. So the intent of Godzilla isn't the same as the intent of a foreign military. His is more like the intent of a typhoon or a tidal wave or something like that. It's a natural disaster. So it actually doesn't fulfill that first criteria. Number two, there are no other means to eliminate the threat. So of course you have to do politics first. You have to do diplomacy. You don't just like roll out the tanks and start shooting stuff. You got to have a conversation. Now, you can't have a conversation with Godzilla. So technically, You cannot do diplomacy. But you can't stop with Godzilla and say, like, maybe we should have a conversation about this. Maybe there's something else we can do. Maybe we can offer you some money. Maybe we could, you know. Godzilla often is attracted to the big cities because of the energy. The old movies would have it. He was actually attracted to electricity, and it sort of charged him up. So he was coming in and smashing stuff and basically absorbing all the electricity. So maybe we could set up, like, a hydroelectric dam near the edge of this the country, and you can just, like, go charge off that. We could do that for you, Mr. Godzilla. He's not going to have that conversation. So number two actually means you could roll out the SDF. Number three, the use of force must be minimal. Now that's interesting. Getting out the tanks and stuff and shooting. So what is a minimal resistance to Godzilla is a very difficult thing, because everything they throw out, every movie has them throwing, like, tanks, shooting at it constantly, missiles hitting it, airplanes, helicopters coming, shooting it, blah, 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 does all that stuff. And Godzilla just kind of walks away. So they have to always come up with some sort of other thing to do. So it's really number one that holds the SDF back from attacking Godzilla that way, or defending against Godzilla, because it is defending against it. They're not really attacking it. They don't go after him. There are other movies later on where they do, but that's a separate issue. We're not going to get into that. Some of the American ones, the Godzilla versus King Kong, they go down after him. And I think, you know, that actually says something about America. So the question Ishiba was actually proposing was, how do you stop Godzilla legally and maintain the integrity of the Constitution? It's a very interesting question. This is the kind of thing I really enjoy getting into, because you have this fanciful situation, but the reality of it, which is a lot of what Shin Godzilla dealt with, which is why I was so confused. Like, why are we going from administrative body to administrative body and seeing what they do? And I realized, like, oh, they're trying to show what the reality of dealing with a Godzilla like in modern society would actually be like. It's actually a very interesting movie. I don't think they should call it a monster movie. I think they should have called it something else. So Shin Godzilla, Shin means new Godzilla. It should have been like the government versus Godzilla or something like that. I should have come up with something more pithy before I started this. I wasn't going to be able to do it in a minute. The police and the SDF can be used to react to a threat with proportional power. So constitutionally, it doesn't actually matter that it's a military attack, because Godzilla is so large and so powerful, and they are allowed to respond with a proportionate amount of power. They are therefore allowed to respond to Godzilla with the tanks and the airplanes and the stuff and shoot missiles at it. But it would have to be approved by the cabinet or the government or something first. The prime minister is in a unique situation where he has to make that judgment call and call out the SDF, call out the military, call out the police, or call out whatever he calls out. He's going to be responsible for the results in the aftermath. So let's say once they take care of Godzilla, then they start looking at the legality of the situation and realize it was illegal, then the prime minister has to step down. That's actually in Shin Godzilla, one of the issues is the prime minister isn't 100% sure he should take responsibility for what they're about to do. And he actually, I don't remember, I saw it a couple of years ago, I think he actually steps down and someone else takes over and they do it. And they're like, well, if I take control for a day and get fired, it doesn't really make a big difference. Someone went and got they don't have Freedom of Information Act like they do in America, but someone went and got the actual documents pertaining to this, and legal documents actually agree the use of tools to stop it is acceptable, tools being whatever you need to stop it, which means tanks, missiles, airplanes, helicopters, all that other stuff then becomes the tools. So you have to redefine them. That's actually what's happening. You're not using weapons. You're using those weapons as tools to deter Godzilla, to push Godzilla back, to try to stop Godzilla. So if you ever wonder about the legality of what's happening in a Godzilla movie, you can now know the constitutional rights Godzilla has as an entity entering the country. Not being a member of another nation means it is not a military attack. There's no passports involved. There's nothing like that. This is a natural disaster, and it is being dealt with as a natural disaster. And the reaction of the military and whatnot should be proportional to what the threat Godzilla it should be proportional to the threat that Godzilla poses. Got it in the end. Japan has a group called the Japan Weak Men. The name itself is already self-deprecating, and I don't know how serious it is. I have heard about their activities in the past. They have a couple of joke groups that do kind of serious things. They have the anti basically Valentine's Day, saying like it's rude to singles and all us lonely men who don't have girlfriends, you shouldn't have Valentine's Day. So they wanted to ban Valentine's Day. The Weak Men Association is a little different. They're trying to bring awareness to men's issues. But I think the thing is, calling yourself the Weak Men Association already undercuts your message, because it's already feels like a joke. It doesn't feel very serious, even though they might talk about serious stuff. They wanted to raise awareness of the men's issue that men can be victims too. So they have women-only cars in Japan. No one disagrees with women-only cars except a very small group of assholes who want to get into those cars and abuse women. So they have a lot of sexual assault, sexual abuse happens on trains. So you get very crowded trains and then people touch other people and then they run off the train before you can catch them. To give a safe space for women, they created women's only cars. Everyone is basically seems to be okay with it. I've had a couple of people like try to make arguments, but in my mind, I'm like, the only reason you're making an argument against a women's only car is because you're gross or awful or hate women or something like that. So you're kind of outing yourself by do this. The Weak Men's Association isn't against women's cars. In fact, they're saying that women's cars should be available as often as needed. So these are not like anti-women men. And again, the message becomes confused because the name is a joke. But what they wanted to do is say, but men can get touched or abused or sexually assaulted on the train just like women. And they're not saying we should have men-only cars because that leads to another weird problem because men, I have to assume, are 99% of the perpetrators of this kind of the chikan behavior where they touch you on the train. So if you're putting just men with other men and those are where the chikan are and they want to touch other men, you actually haven't solved the problem. The problem is, of course, trying to catch them or educate them or do something to actually stop them. I was shocked when I learned that trains in Japan didn't have cameras in them. I just thought every train for years and years and years would have had cameras, and tons of them, most of them don't. Cameras are being introduced to trains now, which seems very late in the game to me. But raising awareness is fair. Like, men can be victims of sexual assault as well. So they wanted to make a men's only train car event and then have it go from one place to another. The problem is the name and the association. So as soon as you say men's only car with the Weak Men's Association, all the train companies are like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that. And so they ended up coming to a deal with a train company in Osaka. And the train company said, look, you can't say the train line name. You can't mention our name. So like JR East or whatever it would be. You can't use us in your advertising material and you can't tell them where it's going to be, which already making it very difficult. And they're like, we agree to all of that because we'll tell people where to meet. It will be in the train area. Then we'll all get on the train, go. And this was not a men's only event, even though they're calling it the men's only train, because they're trying to raise awareness. Anyone who supported the idea of awareness of men's issues was welcome on the train car. So the men's only train car wasn't men's only. Women could get on as well, as long as they supported the message that they were talking about. Something that actually, again, you wouldn't be able to check until it was too late. So you get some like women who maybe don't fully support this as an issue. They get on and start making a protest or something. Now you've got a whole other set of issues. Well, it was planned for November 19th for International Men's Day. Didn't actually know that was a thing, if I'm being honest. It was suddenly canceled on November 5th. No reason given. The rail operator was already cautious. And they said, we can have no men only signs. Like, so like a sign on the train or something that says men only, you can't do that. So the no reason given is actually the issue. So they had this idea. They wanted to raise awareness. They've canceled it and they gave no reason for it. And that actually, again, the Weak Men's Association, I'm like, of course they didn't give a reason because they just gave up because they're weak men. I was going to do a quiz. Tom, a friend of mine and a fan, sent in a thing. He actually wrote the quiz, and then I immediately was like, I'm going to throw that out because I'm an asshole. No, but because I looked, he actually started writing about the thing he was interested in, which was the bit that caught my attention. So I'm going to drop a picture into Discord for you to see. This is, there was a Vietnamese bar that was illegal. So I don't know if they were doing anything sexual, but when they say illegal foreigner bar, because it's usually Filipino bars and stuff, and it's usually like there's a vaguely sexual feeling going on, but this might have just been an unlicensed bar.
Yeah.
And so in the picture, you will see the police grabbed some items to show. Like, it's like when you make your 500 kilo cocaine bust, you like show off. And they do this. They do this in Japan as well, but to a lesser degree. And you'll notice some of the items that they've collected. Some bottles of wine and champagne and stuff. But if you use some darts, which I guess could technically be illegal. It looks like a menu and an iPad. And then there is a Connect Four.
Some playing cards.
Okay, but I wanted to focus on the Connect Four.
Okay.
Because let's say you and I are policemen. We have just completed our bust of the Vietnamese bar. And we're going to be like, we're building our display. And we have a Connect Four. Do we play a game? Do we set it up? Or do we take it the way it was left and just put it up? Like, so you and I are like, okay, we're setting, we're actually, we might even not even be the cops. I don't know if it's like a separate job to set up the diorama that is the like display of our arrest.
Yeah.
I'm standing there with a Connect Four. Do you think it was completed in advance? Do you think it was something the cops put together? What would you do? So you have a Connect Four that you're going to stick on your diorama to show that you've just completed a criminal investigation. What is your instinct?
My instinct is to make it look like a game was played.
Okay. So you and I understand the rules of Connect Four. The person who put this together, you will notice. So could you explain the win state of Connect Four?
Just make a line of four.
Make a line of four.
Or horizontally or vertically.
So what did they do in the picture? This is going to be up on the screen so people can see it. But
they just they threw tiles in like alternating columns.
Yeah. So they did
the same colors.
A column of four yellow, three red, and then a weird one where it's like two yellow and one, and then it's four red and one, and then three and three and three.
Yeah.
There are two win states that I can see.
Yeah. I don't know what they were thinking.
So to me, yeah. So my image is that what they did is they took the Connect Four and they threw it down and they just put it in really quickly to show that it was a Connect Four board. I don't know what board is normally laid down.
What could it be if the tiles weren't there?
Yeah. Well, no. What do
people think it is?
I would admit, like, I don't think, to me, I don't know if younger people than us played Connect Four in a real way. Like, I really don't. I don't know how popular Connect Four was, but I played Connect Four. I've played video game versions of Connect Four. You and I played Connect Four in It Takes Two.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the other one. A Way Out.
Oh, wait. Oh, did we?
Yeah, in the hospital, we played Connect Four. And I got really angry because I lost and I thought I was going to win. I am a gracious loser, though, at least. I can say that.
After the fact.
Yeah. Well, I can make, I can say some stuff, but, I'm passionate about Connect Four.
Kid has, my youngest has a Connect Four in like a game collection thing on the tablet.
Yeah, okay. So it makes sense to me that most people would know what Connect Four. So if you had an empty slate thing with the holes in it, I think I would still recognize that as Connect Four. But I think putting the tiles in makes it more visually appealing. It's clearer what it is. But then I would immediately be like, well, I can't just make rows. I have to make it look like a game. I don't know why. It's like an authenticity thing. I want people to know that this was a real game. So I'd have only one win state. The fact that there's two win states in this really, really set me off after a while. The more I thought about it, the more wrong it seemed.
And it's not even like, oh, they just put the extra tile in to complete after. This is very obviously not how a game was won.
Yeah.
Nobody won with a straight line.
Yeah, because if you go from right to left from the visual side, it's 3-3-3.
Yeah.
So at any point, one of those could have won.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like I got a box around the two little on the left side, and then they just threw in like four.
Like, there's no way to build that box and not let the other person win.
Yeah.
It's oh my god, everything about the game is just baffling.
See, the more you look at it, the more annoying it gets. And that actually, I have less faith in the police now because they didn't, I'm not saying they should have stopped and played a game of Connect Four, but they should have made the Connect Four that they're going to put on display look realistic. And that lack of attention to detail makes me think you're a lesser cop than if you had done that piece of work.
Well, even if it had just been throw the tiles in.
Randomly.
Randomly, I would have been okay with that too. But there's even tiles left in the tray at the bottom.
Yeah. So like it's not even a finished game, even though they finished it apparently twice.
Yeah.
The only other explanation I could come up with is that they played a different game with the Connect Four board thing.
Some
like a drinking game or something.
Yeah.
Like put this tile in and ask this code, like almost like a truth or dare or something.
Connect Four is at the whole heart of this case.
It is. Because in the picture, they have the nice sort of Vietnamese dresses and they have the bottles. I mean, everything else is fine. I had no problem with it. And then Tom sent this picture to me and he goes, and then look at the Connect Four. And that was it. That was my week.
I kind of have an issue with the playing cards too, because it doesn't look like a full deck.
It does not look like a full deck. It looks like they're missing cards. And they've fanned them out kind of around. So this is one of the things I love the most about these pictures, is someone put a lot of thought into it, but also didn't put enough thought into it. Because the wine bottles are fanned out in an arc, and then the playing cards are fanned out under that.
Yeah.
And then there's the Connect Four and stuff in the middle. Obviously, like, the centerpiece is the Connect Four. And then the super expensive bottle behind it, clearly, because it has its own box.
But what is the thing in front of the playing cards on the Connect Four? Is it just a flannel?
Oh, those are oshibori. Those are the wet towels. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. Why would that be included? So this is all supposed to be evidence of some sort of, you know, I guess technically how serious the crime is. Like what a good job we did.
Yeah, look at all this important shit we collected.
Yeah, the wet towels that are in every single restaurant, in every single place in Japan, don't need to be included in this. So I never really followed through on my feature of the guy who sets things out. But it used to be underwear. And they would, there was some, you could tell what kind of attention they put. Because there was one guy, and he put so much work into it. Because it was color-coded. It was it started at the top left corner where were like white panties. And then it went down and it got dark in the bottom right, in the opposite corner.
Wow.
And he did like a shade transition throughout. And I was like, this dude had a lot of time. Because it was like 500 pairs of underwear that were stolen or something. And I've seen like someone was stealing shoes, and the guy put the shoes in like order. Like this corner was sort of sports shoes and the other corner was like sort of more work shoes and stuff.
Oh my God.
I know.
The guy who does it is just OCD.
It's
the extreme.
But then we get this guy with the Connect Four.
Yeah, he was on holiday. The OCD guy was on holiday.
And so this guy's like, well, I'll just fan everything out, and I got a whole bunch of garbage here that they left in the room, and oh, there's a Connect Four, and I'll just throw the tiles in.
Maybe that's what it was. They just had some wine and shit, and they're like, it's not really cutting it. What else is in that?
Yeah, what else is in the room? Cops need to do better. Police committing crimes. A cop forged power of attorney and stole 7 million yen from a resident. He's a 70-year-old man. So basically, this guy had been a police officer for a year and realized, like, crime pays more than being a cop. And so at the beginning of this show, I started talking about how I have more integrity almost unintentionally. When I talk about stuff being factual, I want it to be accurate. So I don't do single news sources. I always want to get two or three news sources before I actually do a story, which I think is more research than other places do, even though... Well, because again, it's the spread of internet information. A story gets out and then other people pick it up and just repeat it. And then sometimes iterate on it. I've actually seen that. I've seen stories where something went from story to bigger, to bigger, to bigger, something like that, multiple times, which actually Ninja News Japan then becomes a very interesting source of news, because I'll tell you all three stories because I don't actually know which one's true. I assume the first one, which is usually the less dramatic one, and then the more dramatic versions get on. Because one of the stories I did, and it was a taxi driver hitting a pigeon on purpose. And then by the third iteration of that story, it was hit a dove. And so they changed the bird to make it more sympathetic towards the bird and make the taxi driver look even worse. Yeah, integrity. Some cops don't have integrity. The ones who have been there for a year and realized, I'm not making that much money and I can make a lot more money committing crimes. And now I've learned some interesting way to commit crimes. Here's a very interesting way to commit a crime. He deals with a resident who's 70 years old. He gets his banking information. He brought the victim's bank book and seal to the post office. So they don't do signatures in Japan. They do seal, so a stamp. So that's actually one of the questions of which is better, a seal or a stamp. Because if I could maybe forge your signature if I could learn how to do it, but I also could learn how to, I could just steal your stamp and it's much easier to use. So you can see sort of one of the issues of stamp versus signature. My signature has changed over time, which is one of the problems. So it's gotten messier or less legible. So if you compare my signature now to my signature 10, 15, 20 years ago, it's probably very different. And so a bank could actually say it's not the same signature. A stamp remains the same, but then I could go into someone else's house, steal their stamp, and then try to use their stamp, just like this cop did. He brought the victim's bank book and stamp to this post office. He was wearing his uniform and then immediately flashed his badge. So, of course, everyone in the post office is like, oh, he's a police officer. He is therefore trustworthy. The staff believed him because he's a cop. And He then took out 7 million yen from the man's bank account and tried to give himself power of attorney. He was actually caught very quickly when a family member noticed 7 million yen missing from the man's bank account. So it's actually good he had family members checking on his bank account. So he's been arrested. Of course, the police apologize. They say, we're going to train people to make sure this doesn't happen again. The problem with training police is you're training them in how crimes are done, and then they might go, huh, that's a neat idea. This is the sixth prefectural police to be arrested this year. So in that prefecture, six cops have been arrested. So I actually didn't look up the stats. We're getting close to the end of the year, so we're going to get to stats season, which for me is a very exciting season. For other people, not so much, because some people love the numbers-heavy episodes that I do at the end of the year. Some people don't. I love the numbers. How many cops get arrested is very interesting, because in relation to how many cops there are, more than anything else. Because we talk about bad apples, but how many bad apples are there is a very interesting question. I think I should make a segment called Politicians Saying Dumb Stuff, because we do get a lot of politicians. And again, the older Japanese men, they've gotten used to saying whatever they want to say and it causing problems for them and them not really knowing how to handle it. So this politician, he was on his YouTube stream. So he has a weekly show he does on YouTube. He streams it. I don't know how big his audience is. Now I'm very interested to see if he has a bigger audience than me. So if I can say my audience is at the low end, 600 to 800 people, high end, 1,000 people. So let's just do the middle. Let's say 750 people listen to this podcast every week. Do I get more listeners than this Japanese politician? Is very, because this is a small amateur thing. So 700 is a massive number. I'm really happy with that. I would love for it to grow, but I'm never going to complain about a fairly large group of people listening to the nonsense that I spout every week to week. Competing against Japanese politicians would be pretty funny. This is the leader of the Conservative Party. Now that makes it sound big. It's not. The Conservative Party in Japan is an incredibly small party because there are thousands of parties and a lot of them are very small. Now this party got 2% of the most recent vote. So they basically got like a seat or maybe two seats in the House. So they don't have any real political power. So that's an important thing to keep in mind, because when we talk about Conservative Party, if you talk about American politics or British politics or Canadian politics, those are basically one of the two parties. This is not that. This is an incredibly small party. The Communist Party in Japan is a much bigger, more powerful party than this Conservative Party. The Conservative Party of Japan was streaming on YouTube talking about the declining birth rate. This is a very big issue in Japan. I have solved it multiple times. If they would just start listening to News Japan, they would have the answer they are looking for. But they don't. That's all I can say. He's talking. He's on YouTube. He can say whatever he wants. So he does. I do like there's a caveat at the beginning before he starts speaking. What he says is there's a hypothetical idea, which I do not support. Now, here's an interesting thing. If you don't support it, maybe don't say it. Don't talk about the things you don't support. Talk about the things you actually do support. Since you're supposed to be the leader of a party, why not talk about what your party would do to solve this very real problem for the country? Don't talk about something that's hypothetical and not real and is going to piss people off. Or you could do what this guy does and start talking. So he's tried to cover himself by saying he doesn't support this. He doesn't believe this. This is not something we would actually do. But here's a hypothetical. This is literally like me going, I'm not racist, but, and then say a whole bunch of racist stuff. He's going, I don't support this, but here's a really neat idea I heard recently. So he said, there's a hypothetical idea which I do not support in removing women's uteruses when they turn 30. Now, I don't support that either because it's a really dumb fucking idea. And it doesn't solve the declining birth rate issue because women over 30 are still very capable of having babies. The technology's improved, health has improved. There's a whole bunch of things that have improved. So you don't need to have a baby when you're 20 years old anymore. You don't have to risk death by having a baby when you're 28, 29, 30, 35, whatever. So that whole thing that came out of his mouth at that moment should have been like, everyone be like, ooh, yes. Now there were other people in the stream, and after he got to his third or fourth point, we're like, maybe this is too much. Still didn't stop. He said, women would not go to university and cannot marry after 25. So he's saying that women basically can't go to university, so they have no work prospects. Therefore, marriage would be the more attractive prospect. Therefore, we could make a law to make it so they can't marry after 25 years old. So if you don't get married before 25 and start having babies, you don't get to do that forever. But then also you don't have a university education, so you can't get a really good job. So your whole life sucks if you don't get married and have babies before you're 25. And again, that is a lot, because that has no relationship to reality, how it works now. We need dual incomes to survive. Like, this is normal people now. If you have kids, you need dual incomes. My kids are now getting to high school and university age. We are sitting down working out our finances to make sure that our kids will be able to go to university. It is a huge burden on us as parents, but we want our kids to have the education so they can get the job, so they can do what they want. And education takes a long time. If they want to do further education, they want to do that. They're going to go into, like, let's say a master's or a PhD. That's going to be 8-10 years of education. I assume I will be supporting them at least partially through all that. My wife not having a job, we wouldn't be able to do that. So our now family, our future has a lower standard overall because of this guy's weird, weird idea from some science fiction thing he read. So after he said women's uteruses should be removed when they turn 30, women shouldn't go to university and they should not be allowed to marry after 25, all to incentivize them having babies at an early age. So maybe I assume then have more babies, even though, again, a family wouldn't be able to survive on a single income at that point. People got upset. So the other people who were with him were like, isn't that too much? And he was like, yeah, I don't know. I think I sound pretty smart. He then the next day said, I will retract the statements and apologize as people found them unpleasant. And I think the thing is, he's unpleasant because he thought this was a good idea in the first place. It's not the statements, it's him saying those unpleasant things, thinking it was a good idea. That's the problem. I don't know how many times I've done this on this show. We're at like episode 333 or something like that. I actually should check, but we're in there are 330s at this point. How many times have I said retracting a statement is not a thing? You can't say something into the world and then retract the statement. Statements can be taken out of context, but this is another place where Ninja News Japan tries to show a certain amount of integrity by looking at what is said before and after, so I have full context of what was actually said, so I know, yeah, that person was actually joking. All the people who say Donald Trump is joking when he makes, like, incendiary statements, he's not. You can look at what he says before and what he says after and realize that's not a joke because it's not funny. This guy saying, I want to retract my statement, it doesn't retract the statement. It doesn't go away. You still said it. You're still a gross human being. You shouldn't say those things. Retracting it and apologizing because people found it unpleasant, you should have known that going in. He then went further to say, I was explaining the time limitation on giving birth in a plain way, which is not what he was doing because it's a function of biology and has nothing to do with his very arbitrary time limit of 25 to 30. If you don't support something, don't support it by not talking about it. Got to stop and watch Dave settle in. Three turns, four turns, five turns, and down. Okay, good. Five turns is a good amount of turns before you settle in.